Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6 says this, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, as just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Now, notice one is mentioned quite a few times. Notice that right off the bat, it says there is one body. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 that there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. So right off the bat, Paul wants us to know that there's not these preferences, that ultimately there is this one purpose that we gather together. Think about why marriages often fail, is because people want to stay two instead of becoming one. Churches fracture when people want to put their preferences together or separate instead of becoming one church, one body. And so ultimately, Paul goes on to say, the body is empowered by one Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes along and he equips and he helps and he serves and he builds us up. But then it says that we are called to one hope, that the Holy Spirit is a seal and a promise that our lives have been transformed and redeemed by Jesus. It goes on to say there is one Lord, one God who's head over it all. And he, in essence, gives us this one faith. We are united by our faith. And what we're going to experience today, over 25 people who are getting baptized as a symbol that their life has been transformed by this one God. What's interesting is the term one is used seven times in this short little text in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Seven in the Bible is a number for completion. Unity is a big, big deal in the kingdom of God. Now, I just want to say this about unity. Unity is not uniformity, and unity is not sameness. Unity does not even mean that I see eye to eye with everything that you do. Unity does not mean we like the exact same things. Unity means that we are connected for a goal, a vision, or a purpose. Think about it like this. If you go to a sports game, there are fans of a particular team who don't have all the same likes and all the same preferences and all the same desires or values for life, but ultimately, they are connected for one goal, which is to see their team move forward in victory. See, as Christians, that does not mean that we always see eye to eye. There might be different styles or preferences when it comes to the way we do church. There might be different versions of the Bible that you prefer. There might be ways that you think this thing should be done. But what that means is ultimately, despite those preferences or those desires, we come together for the goal of lifting high and exalting the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. And so suddenly, those divisions, those likes, those preferences actually get squashed for this greater goal that unites us, which is to, again, exalt the name of Jesus. In fact, if you've been at our church for some time, you know that our vision, above all, is not to offer necessarily different styles of worship. It's not to be a certain denomination. Above all, our one desire is to wake the world up to Jesus. That's why we exist. We want people who don't know Jesus to find life in him. That's why we gather. And we have to be united for this goal. But let me just say this. This word unite is an important word. In fact, you'll see this word unite on the screen. And I want you to just look at that word unite. Now, here's a question for you. Which letter comes first, U or I? It's actually the letter U. See, U comes before I. And this is what I want you to remember when it comes to biblical unity. U comes before I. U comes before my preferences, my needs, my flourishing, my well-being. See, ultimately, this is a picture of biblical unity. Take this same word, unite, and actually move the I over to where the U is. Suddenly, when you do that, you don't have the word unite anymore. And in culture and society, what you have when you have people show up in marriages and ultimately where they elevate their wants, their desires, their preferences above their spouses, or if you have workplaces where people show up and they only want to do what they want to do, and they're kind of marked by selfishness or entitlement, Or if you have churches where people ultimately do what they want to do, instead of being united for this common goal, what you find is you no longer have unity. You no longer have flourishing. You no longer have hope and love. But when people catch a vision of this larger purpose, suddenly unity and flourishing and life can happen. And let me just say this very sincerely this morning. If you don't catch a vision for unity, we will never have unity in our church, in our culture, and in our world. In fact, Paul says something staggering in verse 3. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And let me just say it like this. I know this will probably be a hard phrase at first for me to say, but let me just say it like this. Unspiritual people cannot bring unity. Only spiritual people can bring unity. In essence, non-spiritual people can bring, traces of unity, but real transforming unity and peace only happens when Christians, through the power of the Holy Spirit, start to live out their purpose and their calling. Remember that old nursery rhyme, that old story, Humpty Dumpty? Remember it goes like this, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, but all the king's horses and all the king's men, remember how it goes? I know you're watching on video right now, but finish with this. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't, exactly right, they couldn't put Humpty back together again. So in this nursery rhyme, you see Humpty has a real problem. He has a real issue. He's broken. Humpty cannot actually fix himself. So Humpty Dumpty goes to consult a higher power. Humpty Dumpty goes to the king. But the king can't fix Humpty Dumpty's issue. The king can't fix Humpty Dumpty's problem. Humpty Dumpty is too broken. So the king gets his government officials involved, because we see he got all the king's horses and all the king's men. But the problem is, Humpty Dumpty, the king of the world, and the government could not solve the issues that Humpty Dumpty had. They were just too big. The truth is, the world that we live in is divided. I've heard it say it's no longer the United States of America, it's actually the divided states of America. There is racial tension that is high. There is political division. There is actually a fracturing of the church. There are marriages and families that seem to be more broken than ever before. And ultimately, the solutions to this kind of division, they cannot be solved with the king of this world. They cannot be solved with the government officials. The problems are just too big. The issues are too wide. There is too much brokenness for the king of this world to solve the issues. There has to be a different solution, which I believe is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, because when he is brought into the equation, everything changes. See, again, notice what it says in verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What that means is I don't bring reconciliation. I don't bring unity. The Holy Spirit working in and through me and the Holy Spirit working in and through you is actually what brings real unity. And so what I would contend to you again is that spiritual people are the only people that can bring unity, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you are not a follower of Jesus, what that means is the way that we often will try to solve problems if we're not followers of Jesus is through the flesh, through man's wisdom, through man's plans, through man's provision. But once you become a Christ follower, you have a new operating system, which is the Holy Spirit. And now you can start to avail yourself and surrender to his plans and his purposes. But what happens for so many people, if we aren't careful, we try to merge the flesh, which is man's wisdoms, man's plans, man's ideas, with the Spirit. And what that does is it causes a war inside of our souls, because the spirit and the flesh cannot mix. It is like oil and water. And so this morning, if you find yourself kind of sitting, listening to this, and there's a little bit unrest in your soul, if it feels like there's tension and angst, might I humbly submit that it could be because you are operating in some area in your life outside of the Spirit's plans for your life. So in essence, you might have someone who in one area is generous. They are following the Spirit's plans for their life. They are giving of their resources. They are serving. But in the other area, maybe someone really wronged them. Maybe someone hurt them. And now they are harboring bitterness and anger and frustration and revenge. And now it's like the spirit and the flesh are at war. There is tension. Again, might I submit to you that whenever there is unresolved, ongoing conflict, it's because the Holy Spirit has not been brought into the equation. See, for there to be real, transforming unity and peace, we have to be people who put the needs of other people. We have to put you before I. We have to surrender our needs, our wants, our desires, our flourishing to the needs of other people around us. See, as we conclude today, there's just two questions that I want you to think through. Is there a place in your life that you need inward unity? What I mean by that, is there a place between you and God that the Holy Spirit might just be prompting you and convicting you that you've been operating in the flesh? And the Holy Spirit's going, hey, I want you to bring me into the equation. I want you to surrender this thing to me. And it could be some area in your life that you're harboring frustration or anger or disappointment in. And maybe the Holy Spirit brought you this morning because he goes, I want there to be unity with me. And then the other area that I want to ask you is there maybe outward unity? And that what I mean by that, are there areas that you need to get right with other people? Maybe in your workplace, there is gossip and the Holy Spirit is going, I've called you to be different. I've called you to be an agent of reconciliation. And maybe right now you need to make a commitment to shut those things down. Maybe there's animosity and hostility and bitterness in your family. And the Holy Spirit's going, you know what? I want to use you to bring unity and love and peace. Maybe there's something going on in your life group or in the church. And the Holy Spirit's going, you know what? I want to use you as a vessel and as a mouthpiece to bring about my transformation and my reconciliation. As we sing this next song, my challenge to you is, where is the Holy Spirit just prompting you that you can be an agent of transformation and bring greater depths of unity in the community around? The only way this really happens is when spiritual people start to put you before I, when we surrender our needs and our wants for the flourishing and the well-being of other people. So as we sing this song, let's exalt the name of Jesus, and may you make a commitment wherever he prompts you to live out unity and peace wherever he calls you.